Hello, welcome back to How to Learn a Language. I'm very excited to share an interview episode with you this time, and I'm talking with Shahida Foster of Black Girls Learn Languages. I was really excited to have this conversation because we've been kind of like very loosely in communication through things like Women in Language and kind of really promoting and sharing each other's events and things that we're doing. So Shahida runs an event called Souls as well sometimes. So all of this kind of stuff, but we've never had a chance to just sit down and talk. And so Shahida, I invited Shahida to suggest some topics, and one really stuck out to me, as you'll hear. We're going to talk a little bit more about intercultural communication and why language learning alone isn't enough to be effective in that space of intercultural communication. And Shahida really has some great perspectives on this. You know, after living in both Germany and the US, there's this really wonderful understanding that she has that is completely respectful, completely open and curious. And you'll hear me ask as well, like, how can we learn about this stuff without coming across as kind of being overly critical or perhaps insulting or rude? You know, it's quite a difficult thing to discuss sometimes with people. So I was really grateful for Shahida for offering up this topic and for being so so generous and smart with her responses as well. And I hope you enjoy our conversation. Hey, hello, hello. Welcome.
Hey.
Shahida, thank you for joining me. I'm really, really excited to talk about the topic that you suggested. When you said that you sent a couple through and I was like, this one, let's go. So first of all, for anyone listening who maybe is seeing you for the first time, I'll give you a chance to introduce yourself in the way that you would like to be introduced.
Okay, well, first and foremost, my name is Shahida. I am the creator of Black Girls Learn Languages, which is a multi-platform digital community. And basically, it's just a community for Black women who are learning languages, passionate about languages, so that they can find people that look like them and, you know, share, have, you know, cultural perspective, viewpoints that they share, you know, musings that they can just share and vent a little bit. So that's basically what it is. And then we share resources and stuff like that. So that's who I am, what I do.
Hey, excellent. And we know each other kind of, we've never had the chance to like properly sit down and talk one-on-one. So that's another reason I'm really looking forward to today. But we know each other because you've spoken at Women in Language and we've kind of supported each other that way through your event as well, through Souls. And so there's been all these little moments throughout the years, but we've never had like a proper sit down conversation. So thank you for joining me today. And we're going to talk about, and I'm going to bring up the whole page so I don't mess it up. So we're going to talk about why learning a language is not enough to be effective at intercultural communication. Whew, what a topic. Okay. First of all, why did you suggest this? Why is this something that's been on your mind, perhaps?
It's something that I plan to talk about on my platform. It's something that has come across multiple times in the course of just living, because I'm also living in Germany. So it's something when you're communicating with people who don't have the same culture as you, you start to realize that speaking the same language isn't enough, because there's these cultural nuances to language. And it doesn't matter if they're speaking your native language or you're speaking theirs, there's going to be that level of things that are not going to be understood, because, you know, certain things when you speak English with someone, you take for granted that they understand. And so that's just something that I don't think people realize. I think a lot of people think speaking the language is enough.
I mean, even between, like, when you were saying that and you said when you speak English, I was hearing you and I'm thinking, oh, you're talking to me. when I speak English? And then I'm like, yeah, because we both speak English, but there'll be things where I could say and I could totally go off and fill my English with British slang and British reference points and stuff. And you might be like, nod and smile, haven't got a clue, you know? And same for you, right? There's these, even within a language, these kind of inter-language differences that you're constantly then needing to think about. So if, yeah, you go to another language completely, it just becomes so much more than words, for sure.
Yeah, and it's like, and it's not even just the regional, like the vernacular and stuff. It's just certain behaviors that go with the things that you say or that people take for granted, you know, cause and effect like that. So it's just things that I've noticed over the course of just living here and not just interacting with Germans, but also interacting with people who are not from here. So English obviously would be the lingua franca for people who are not German, but also live here. And it's like you talk to people in English and you kind of assume certain things, and then you have to realize, why do I expect them to behave that way or know that thing? Because they were not raised speaking English.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Can you give me an example to start us off?
One of the things that I've noticed that basically language, like for instance, you speak English, obviously for you, it's going to be different than for me, because for you, you have like way more history behind your English as opposed to ours. Our English is new. It's like what, 400, 500, 600 years old. So I noticed that with the languages that are young, they tend to be low context, which means a lot of times we just say what we think. We say what we mean, and that's just what it is. The only time there's like a hidden meaning is if you're trying to be like funny, you're trying to make a point some kind of way. But for the most part, with Americans, it's pretty straight from the hip. What I say is what I mean. And I noticed like with other countries, like the language, like for instance, France, or maybe even a country that uses French as a reference point, like Morocco or something like that. Like they say things sometimes in a way where it's like there's different meanings behind that, and it's up to you to decipher which meaning it is. And so then you have to think, okay, so then when they're speaking English with you, they also have this reference point. I'm going to say this thing, and then it's up to her to understand what I truly mean by it.
And there's an assumption there, right, from the speaker that you will understand and interpret it in the way that they want.
Or behave a certain way. Like, for instance, this is, and I use Morocco as a reference point because recently I was with somebody and they're from there. So, like, for instance, for me, like, let's say you come to visit me, right? You come to visit me, I pick you up at the airport, bring you back to my house. I'm like, hey, do you want something to drink? You want something to eat, right? You tell me, no, I'm good. I'm going to just say, okay, like, I'm not, that's it. Like, you said you're good. Okay, when you want something, go get it. And I think in certain cultures, not just in the Moroccan culture, but in other cultures that are high context, there's this banter that needs to be had. Oh, are you sure? Oh, no. Are you sure? Oh, no. Or, you know, whatever. Or you're not supposed to ask because then you look like you don't have manners. But it's kind of like, hey, you've been on a plane for X amount of time. I know you're tired. I know you're hungry. You're exhausted. So it's like you don't ask. Then when they ask, you can't say the first time you want it because then it looks like you have no home training. So there has to be this banter that goes back and forth. Yeah. And so that can be a little hard because, for instance, if somebody says, hey, do you want some cake? And I say, no, I'm good. Usually that's the end of the story. But to have to, go, but please, no, eat some. And it's like, so you think I'm saying no because that's the, but I'm saying no because I really just don't want any. So things like that.
That's a good example because you've got me thinking about how in like Mandarin, there's that common greeting, right? Have you eaten? And, there's those, you're right, that sort of expectation. I also think as well, like, again, coming back to the same language thing, even like if I go to my grandma's house And she'll say, "Oh, do you want a biscuit?" And I'll say, "No." She'll ask like three times. I'm like, "No, I mean it, Grandma. Like, I'm fine. No biscuits necessary today. It's all good." But yeah, that's a really good example, because that really does differ, and there is that implied understanding that's going on for you as the respondee and for the person that's asking, culture dependent. So, okay, so we've got a good kind of case study there. How then do we go about learning this and being able to understand this? Because that's the trickier bit, right? Because I feel like the easy answer would be you immerse yourself and you just pick it up, you practice, but there must be more to it than that.
Yeah, it is. I mean, for the language part, of course, you just, oh, immerse yourself and you learn. But one of the things that I learned is like for instance, with French, right? Because I'm jumping back into French again, and one of the things that I noticed is that in order for me to really understand, I have to really listen, not just hear, listen, because there's a difference between like il lit and il lis. Like there's a difference between that plural and singular. I may not be pronouncing it correctly, but and if you don't pay attention, you're like, okay, which one is which? Do they sound the same? And it's like you have to pay attention, like not only just really listen to what it is they're saying, but ask yourself, like, why do they say it like that? Because sometimes the culture behind, the mindset behind also kind of clues you into why they chose to say it like that, as opposed to how you know how to say it, how you would think as a non-native speaker with a different, point of reference, how you would think it would be said, and then how it's said. Like, I don't know, for instance, we say it's raining cats and dogs, right? When it's like really outside, like really bad. And one of the things they say here in Germany is, it's hard to translate it, like it's watering, like like when you get like a flower pot, water pot thing, and you, so it's like saying like it's really somebody's taking the flower pot thing water and watering. And I just thought to myself, well, why would they say that? That's weird. But people really like to, and I've become one of those people. They really like to have like flowers on the balcony, flowers on the terrace and gardens and stuff. Like this is very common here in Germany. And so then it makes sense to me, okay, because everybody's plants and stuff. So it makes sense why they would say like, oh, it's really watering. Like they would say that as a thing. So then you start to realize and you wonder, okay, so why would they say that? So, then you think, well, how important are plants in the culture? And then, like, for instance, I was reading that, it's nice to give people flowers like for their birthday and stuff like that. Whereas for us, we think of flowers as like romantic. Like you give that to your girlfriend or maybe mom on Mother's Day. But like I was reading that and I was like, oh, that's interesting.
So idioms, so that's one way, right? Idioms and kind of expressions, as a using that as a bit of an insight to think,
Right.
oh, why is that different to the way we say it in English or in your native language? And the one that comes to mind right away is like, it's all Greek to me, how we
Yes.
say in English, like in Greek.
Right.
They're not gonna say that.
Right.
You know, what is their reference point equivalent? And I think I've seen like a sort of map of this one, and I think it might be it's all Chinese to me in Greek. I could be wrong, but you know, that's, yeah, idioms as a jumping off point to then give you these deeper insights. That's a good one. Okay, what
And
else?
here in Germany, they don't say that. They say, in German, they say, ich verstehe nur Bahnhof. And so it's equivalent to it's all Greek to me. So basically, what it is, the reason they say that because I tried to translate, it's all Greek to me, and they looked at me cross-eyed, like, what are you saying? And
Mm-hmm.
so I learned that they say, ich verstehe nur Bahnhof. And the reason why they say that is because the Bahnhof, it means I understand, I only understood train station. That's what it means. And I said, what does that mean? They're like, because when you go to the train station and they make the announcements and the acoustics are so bad, and the only word you end up hearing is Bahnhof. You don't hear anything else about the trains and this schedule and this delay because you can't hear anything really. So, and I was like, oh, okay. And obviously the trains are a big thing. Everybody takes the train here. That's just like a very common mode of transportation here. So.
Yeah. Whereas if you're learning a language that is from a place where trains aren't that prominent, that's probably not going to be the expression. Yeah. Yeah.
No.
That's cool. I like that one. I only understood the train station. That's yeah. Okay. So using proverbs and expressions for insight in that way. Okay. What else is a good tool or method to kind of get into the intercultural communication stuff as well?
Asking why, I think a lot of people don't
Ooh.
ask why a lot. So, like for instance, when you notice that there's a breakdown in communication, a lot of times, sometimes people will assume things, like they create these stories. Like, for instance, I'm trying to think of something. Okay, my friend told me a story. She's from Egypt. And she was telling me about how there was an issue with the somebody in the neighborhood here in Germany. It was an issue. There was like a bunch of kids in the neighborhood, and some German woman was like abusing them or something. Like they would go to the park and she would hit them and stuff like that, and they'd run home crying, right? This is all because they were foreign kids. So anyway, what ended up happening was one of the families, I think they were all foreign families. And so like, I think one of the family actually was German. So they complained to the police and they went to the neighbors and were like, hey, did this happen to your kid too? We should all go to, we should all report it. So they were all like, okay, yeah, sure, we'll report it. So then what ended up happening was, so when it came down to then the police were like, okay, now we want like to follow up on the statements and everything so we can press charges and everything, and this is what's going to be required of you to come to court, da da da. All of a sudden, some of the families were like, oh no, we don't want to deal with this, bye. Like we're good. And so for the outside looking in, it's like, that's weird. Why would they do that? What it makes no sense. Like you said you wanted to do this, why not? And so it's very easy to make up your own story as to why they don't do that. However, my friend was saying the reason why is because in Egypt, if you get the police involved, even if you're the victim, it's a very good possibility you can disappear and nobody knows where you are and they'll never find you again. So if we ask people why things happen, like why can, I'm sure nobody asked them why. I'm sure people just chalked it up to, oh, they're being weird or whatever the story is they make up. So instead of making up stories in your mind about why, ask why.
How do you think we can ask why inquisitively and curiously without that coming across as a threat or an assumption that you are being weird? Why? How do you think we can ask why in a positive and encouraging way?
I think that's a really good question because it's always hard, even when it doesn't have to do with culture, even when it just has to do with everyday things, it's hard to ask the question why, because sometimes it comes off very offensive, and not offensive in a way like insulting, but offensive, like aggressive, like why? And you don't want to come off as you're in the offense when you ask why. One of the things that I try to do is I try to ask people, I try to say, hey, I don't understand this. Help me understand. I don't understand this. Why this? So I think it's very important that you let them know you're failing. You don't understand it. This is why you're asking why. Not because you making judgments or anything, like you sincerely like, hey, I don't understand this. So can you explain it to me so that I can understand why this happened or why you reacted like this or why you acted like this or why you think this way?
That's really it's that bit in the middle that you said of, I don't understand this. Can you help me understand it? It's the can you help me? Can you it's that bit I think that's key, right? That's how it sort of goes from, I don't get it. Why? To, I don't understand, but I want to. I'm
Right.
coming from this genuine place of wanting to understand you better. So you know, so can you help me? It's yeah, that's pretty important. And so that's yeah, okay. So asking why in an inquisitive, positive way, also helping
And then
to uncover that stuff.
also not just asking why, but also not jumping to conclusions. Like giving people the benefit of the doubt, like understanding that if you're speaking to someone, that you guys are not speaking this, like the language you speak is not both of you guys' native language. So whether it's not yours or it's not theirs, giving people the benefit of the doubt to say, hey, like if it's your native language, you have to understand that that's not their native language. So they may say something and it may sound offensive, but they do not mean it that way. It's just that's something that is said in their language. So
You reminded me of something that happened the other day.
okay.
I was in the post office and there was a queue. There were like two people in front of me, one person on the checkout. There's like four empty ones, but that's beside the point. But there was someone who was stood over kind of to the side, like at this little table, filling out a form, maybe like a husband and wife. And they kind of came back over and stood sort of in front of where I was in the queue, but they weren't, you know, they didn't join the back of the queue. And so you could see everyone, like, I don't know how overly sort of British specific the queuingness of this is, but you could sort of see everyone shuffling their eyes, like, but the queue. And so I sort of said, oh, the queue's there, you know, trying to just do it gently and kindly. And then it kind of became obvious that actually the lady didn't speak English or didn't speak much English or didn't understand what I was saying because she, you know, she didn't respond to me in English. And but then it was weird because, you know, I didn't want it to be this sort of altercation. I didn't want to be like back of the line. I was just merely pointing it out. But then you know, when then she starts speaking to her husband in their language, the guy behind me was then like, it's no good swearing in your own language, is it? And I was like, oh, I don't know if that's quite what they're doing. I think, you know, I think maybe they were here before. They went over to fill out a form. They've tried to come back and join because they kind of were in the queue, you know? And so there's this difference there in actually, no, if you leave the queue in this country, you leave the queue and like you have to go to the back. That's just the, again, that kind of intercultural thing, right? And yeah, if it just felt really, really awkward because I felt bad that like they then had to go and wait and there was no way that we could fully communicate, were you here before? Da 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 and all of that. So yeah, that's I like that. I like that point of why and not instantly judging, not instantly thinking they're trying to jump the queue, but instead
Right.
thinking, okay, maybe they were here before. Maybe there's an explanation as to why they think it's okay to just hop in there. Okay, cool. So what's next? So
I
we've
don't
got
know, but I
yeah.
will say that that thing with the queue, I need some work because I don't care. I'm going to assume you're trying to jump to cut me. And I'm going to tell you, hey, I've been here. I've been waiting. That's one thing I probably could stand to work on, but I'm very territorial when it comes to waiting online.
I mean, it's a really good example actually, queuing, because I remember being in Cuba, queuing to get in the bank where like you got to, I don't know what it's like now, but you had to at that point go into the bank to get cash out, right? And so people will be queuing for the bank all day. And like the Cubans, they know it's hot and they have this system where they queue in the shade. So they kind of join the queue by saying like, La próxima, like who's next? And someone will sort of raise a hand and they'll go, okay. I'm after you. Then they'll just go and sit in the shade wherever they can nearby. But then, like me and like some Mexicans as well that were in front, kind of, stood in the line, and all of a sudden someone comes from the shade and stands in, and you're like, whoa, but that's their way, So it's that
Right.
same thing, right? Of then, okay, well, now I'm in your space. I'm now having to hold back my cue feelings and just
Yeah.
adapt to your way. Okay. So yeah, and you, that's the only way I think that I would have learned that, unless maybe like I intentionally read about it. Like the culture shock books. I don't know if they still make them. The ones, I mean, there's like a series. They were like,
No.
they were kind of like a sort of segment of travel books of like telling you all the things to expect. So it might have that sort of stuff in there. But unless you're intentionally reading that and seeking that out, that stuff you do pick up often in those moments where you have this sort of rude awakening of, oh, this is different here. Okay. Yeah. Is there anything you think you can do? Because as you said, you're in Germany. What about before being in a country, or when you're learning a language not in the country? And obviously you can still ask why. You could ask your teacher, your exchange partner, your friends, etc. Is there anything else specifically, other than, reading the culture shock type books, that can happen outside of the sort of immersive environment, do you think?
That's a good question. I'd have to say Reddit, because Reddit is full of people's different experiences. There are different Reddit subreddits you could join, like Americans in Germany or whatever. There's all these different Reddits. And then there's also groups on Facebook. Like, I'm a member and a moderator of this group called Americans in Germany. And it's mostly Americans musing about stuff like, hey, why is air conditioning still not a thing? It's 2023, like stuff like that. Or like, hey, I was at the store and this German person said this to me. Is this normal? And then they have a couple of Germans in the group that will tell you, like, okay, culturally, this is why we do this, or this is why, whatever. And you can find out a lot of stuff. Like, for instance, there's no such thing as homeschooling here. That's illegal.
Is it illegal completely?
Yes, you
Wow.
cannot. If you do not, there's no such thing as homeschooling here. Even in the height of COVID, no homeschooling. And so you cannot do that. The only way
Oh,
you
that's
can get
wild.
around that is if, like, if you're in the military and you're on a SOPA stamp, because then that's different. That's it's almost like you're on American soil in the military installation, right? So you can do that's different. But if you are having like German residence permit, citizen, whatever, you cannot homeschool your children. And in fact, they will start sending letters home when they notice the kids are not registered, because you have to register your address so that they know where you're living at. So they notice, like, hey, there's a 7-year-old in this household, but they're not registered in any of the schools. You're gonna get letters sent home like, hey, you need to register them by this and this date, da da da. It's an issue. And I was just like, I didn't know that. I took it for granted that you can do that.
Yeah, same. That I had no idea. Illegal.
It's not, you could get fined for that. They will fine you for that.
Wow. I mean, that is one you don't want to learn the hard way.
You don't want to learn the hard way. But yeah, I just took it for granted, because I was thinking to myself, like, oh, like if my niece had to come here, then maybe I can just homeschool her. And then I'm like, no, you cannot do that. And I was like, oh, goodness. Because, that's another thing coming over here, because there's a lot of kids that come here that don't speak German, because of like the refugees and stuff like that. There's a lot of kids that come from other countries, don't speak German, and then they have to get integrated in schools. So just imagine, like, it's really a shock, like, very much a shock, like,
Do you think other social media platforms can help with that too? Like, I'm thinking of YouTube, when like I always get these sort of thumbnails of like five things to know before you live in Germany, or that kind of stuff. Does that fall into that same category?
It does. I really think, though, the best thing is like they have these books. I think I have a textbook I got when I was doing my master's, and it was about cultural barriers and stuff like that. And then there's another book I'm currently reading. Well, I don't want to say currently reading. I just have the bookmark still in there. I was reading it and I put it on pause. But it was also about basically somebody who worked globally and just different parallels, different experiences they had working with different people from different, like for instance, if there was like a German company in China, and then these are their findings, these are the different breakdowns in communication between the Germans. And so books like those that talk about that is a good, you know, it's a good, I think that's a good, great starting point.
Yeah, because I
And
mean, you,
then
sorry, go on.
no, I was gonna say, like, you know, stuff like that, or like I don't wanna butcher his name, but I think what's his name? Hofstede? Is it Hofstede or Hofstede? I don't know, but he has like these dimensions of whatever to compare cultures against each other. Like, you know, collectivist versus individualism and stuff like that. That's also something you can look at, like how the cultures are rated on these scales. So that's it. That's all I wanted to say.
That makes sense. You said about that book and the example of like the German company in China, and how specific do you think this is, like that between like a German company in China versus a French company in China versus a British company in China, and all of the nuances that each of those people groups are going to find different? Like, is it that we can, like I suggested, those sort of culture shock books, is it that there's like one broad reference point of like, okay, this is the thing I need to know? How do you understand what I'm trying to say? Like, how nuanced is it, do you think, these differences in understanding?
Well, I mean, it's always going to be way more than you could ever absorb, because the thing is, you can say, oh yeah, when I go to Germany, but then you have to realize there's regions, there's states, and there's certain things that they do in certain regions they don't do in other regions. You may not ever learn, or you may learn, but if you do it in another region, they're just kind of like, okay, like for instance, here where I live, I've never been in this region before I moved here. And one of the things they do is they say moin instead of like guten morgen. They say moin. And, you know, they say, oh, they say moin moin, which means like they have something like they want to talk. Like, but, and I was like, okay. And that was my first time hearing that, even though supposedly they say it in Hamburg, but I never heard it. And just stuff like that. Like, so if I go to Bayern, Bavaria, trying to say that, they're gonna look at me like I'm crazy. Like, but let's not even talk about the fact that I don't know what language they speak there, but you know, if I go there trying to use some of the regional stuff that I learned in Niedersachsen and Lower Saxony, they're gonna look at me like, okay, because they themselves may not even be sure where that's from. They just know that they don't say that.
It creates this interesting kind of overwhelm of where do you begin? Like, I started learning Arabic this year, and it's something that I've sort of like done bits of in the past, like, various points. Like, I went to Morocco and I sort of learned a few words for that, and I spent some time learning the script and all these little nuggets of time. But this year I was like, okay, let's really go for it. And so I started off, I had this book, it's been on my shelf, and I'm like just do 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 working through things, going on the Duolingos, doing all the bits. And then I was like, okay, yeah, time to like take this up a notch and work with a tutor. First session, it's like, okay, so what are you learning? Arabic. And I knew there were dialects, but and she's like, okay, we need to decide now. Do you want to learn Egyptian dialect? Do you want to learn MSA? Do you want to learn this? Do you want to learn? Okay. Well, I'm not going to like a particular place, or I don't have like a friend from a particular region, or okay, so maybe MSA, but no one speaks MSA. So it's just like And so I feel like there's this overwhelm that can often come when we're trying to then distinguish between, well, what matters to me as a learner, given my context that I want to use this language in? Do I even know the context I want to use it in? Or am I just learning because I'm curious and I want to enjoy it? How can we still keep a handle on the kind of intercultural communication stuff without getting, like, balled and chained down by this feeling of like needing to understand it all?
That's a good question. I don't know. I just feel like just get started. Like just pick something. Like because if you do that, you'll find yourself 5 years later still where you are right now. So if you just get started with, oh, okay, just trying to understand this, and then it'll come with time. Even if like it comes in a couple months, it'll come with time and you'll start to get your own sense of direction and okay, this is something, or this is how I navigate this. But just get started. Just start trying to learn the language and then trying to, like you suggested, they have the YouTube videos. There's these different, Google intercultural communication, like how to master, comparisons between cultures. Like the world is your oyster. You can just get started where you want to get started.
Yeah, that's an important message as well, because otherwise you do just stand at the start line looking around like, which way? And I think you do just have to go forward, take some action, and then decide again, okay, I'm going to keep going this way. I'm going to keep going this way. Actually, if I want to go that way now, that's fine. I haven't wasted time, because that's the thing as well, right? It feels like, oh, I'm wasting time if I pick the wrong dialect, or if I learn the wrong, communication stuff for a different country, and actually, for, I don't know, for Argentina, and then I end up living in Spain or whatever. Oh, I've wasted all that time. No, none of it is wasted, right? Because it's all forms this much bigger picture and understanding of the whole, literally the world. I was gonna say world and I stopped myself. I was like, no, that's too big. No, that's what it is. That's what we're talking about. Definitely. And so you've been in Germany now for how long?
So this is my second stay. So I've been here 4 years, and the first time I was here as a military dependent. So my mom was in the military, was here for like 6 years. This time I'm here like completely civilian in the German residence permit, all that stuff. So, yeah, it's been about 4 years and it's been a very interesting experience, especially working, especially academia, because work going to school here was definitely a completely different thing, as opposed to, I just feel like in the US, we have a lot of, we're very check, tick the boxes and results oriented. It doesn't matter. Like we have a process, we don't have a process, just get it done. And I think here it's not like that at all. It's very, this is the process. Don't deviate from the process because the process is there to give us consistent results every time. Which is different from me because it's like, hey, if I can do it a faster way, why not? It's like, well, if you can do it a faster way, there's a process for improving the process. Follow that process. Follow
Follow the faster way process.
the process. First, you have to get it approved, right? You have to formally draft a new process, go through the channels to formally get it approved. And then once you get it approved, you're now allowed to use the faster way. You can't just say, oh, I'm gonna cut this corner or get this out. Like, you can't really do that. I mean, there's certain things you do have the liberty, but for the most part, if it's a very procedural thing, a very formal thing, like it has to be a meeting, it has to be approved by an approver, then you cannot do that. And I just, it was just very, it's very different, And it's so funny, I see it now that I've been here so long that I've kind of gotten acclimated to that. So I see it sometimes, like for instance, Americans, we love to lubricate a request with, hey, how are you doing? How's everything? You're good? I need you to do this for me. It was something like very tedious. You know, we love to lubricate a request. We love to warm someone up before we ask them for something. And, you know, they're not really for the small talk here. And I find myself, even in my personal life, like I find myself sometimes like writing people like, hey, like, you know, people that I know that own businesses, I'm trying to support them. Like I find myself sometimes writing them like, hey, how long is the shipping on this? And I realized I didn't even ask them how they were doing because I'm just so used to doing it the way here, where they just ask directly for what you want. You don't waste time with this with the small talk. So it's interesting, like having to sometimes notice that I've taken on certain things that, like at first, I used to think was really rude, and now I just kind of feel like, oh, get straight to the point.
That is interesting because, like, you always talk about words kind of slipping in. Like, you might kind of say, blah, 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 blah. And then, like, a German word pops out and you're like, oh, no, I'm speaking English. But, like, so you're saying, like, the sort of cultural side of things is also, you find yourself sometimes like, oh, no, wrong, not just wrong language, wrong culture, switch.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good way of putting it because I've had that happen at work. Like, you know, as an American, it's very if you make a mistake, you fix it. Like, it's that simple. It's like, oh, I did this by mistake, fix it. And they're not. It's very like, you know, it's like, no, you cannot do that. But why? Why can't I just change this? And because this and this and this, I'm like, because we have to charge the customer, and it's like, you don't have to. Like, why is it so complicated to fix a mistake? Like, you know, so then I get buried for trying to fix the mistake more than I get buried for the mistake. And now I find myself like, you know, sometimes people come in wanting to change things, and I'm just like, okay, first of all, skirt, stop right there. Let's just stop. Do you understand the bigger picture before you start trying to change everything around? Like, do you understand what are the movable parts and what are the non-movable parts in this picture? Like, I didn't used to be like that, but now I'm very like, hey, do you know what's going on before you come in here trying to change this and that? It's really interesting because I never would have thought. Like I said, I've become one of those people, plants on the terrace, like.
You got your own watering can now, like
Yeah,
you
exactly.
how do you think is it easy to think back to when you first arrived at the start of that 6 year stint? And do you feel like, can you remember what it was like back then? And like now you're saying you've adopted these little elements of the culture yourself. What was it like then? Was there more, was it like we've talked about kind of going into it with an open mind and stuff, but was there frustration when things didn't happen in the way you might have expected?
A number of things I saw that I was just like, what? So for instance, I think the very first thing I saw that was like, what? Okay, so here in Germany, they call like rap, hip hop, R&B, they call it black music. And so when I first got here, I'd see the posters like Black Music Night at such and such club, and oh, what is that supposed to mean? I don't understand. Like, and I remember asking a German person, like, why is that called black music? And they were like, oh, because black people make it. And I'm like, that's racist AF. You know that? You can't do that. You can't.
You know what it used to be called here?
Like, what?
It used to be called urban music.
Oh my gosh. And this is the crazy part. I mean, like now I'm kind of used to it. Like, I don't use the term. I don't say black music, but I'm just used to seeing it now. I'm like desensitized. But I just remember that was the first thing that really shocked me. When I was like you see a picture of like Dr. Dre and whoever rapper, and then it'll say black music. I'm like, what? I just was just so outdone by that. And then another thing, like there's several things that I saw, and I was just kind of like, I realized that, you know, black people are an extreme minority here. Like, we're less than 1% of the population. So there's a lot of things that happen purely that are said purely out of ignorance, because they don't have the same, like in the US, we have the history of slavery, we have the history of Jim Crow, the civil rights movement. Like, we have a lot of history, you know, and here they don't really. There's like very small history of, like, you know, Black survivors of the Holocaust and stuff like that, but they don't really have, you know what I mean? Anything to that scale. So you'll see things and you're just like, what? How is that? Who approved this? I want to know who on the product management side approved this.
And that, do you think, obviously this is, we're talking like over 10 years, do you think that that's changed in that time? I mean, you have in your time in Germany, but do you think that there's also this change of culture during that time? Or is it just that you now notice it and aware?
I feel like there is a shift. Like, I see, for instance, more inclusive advertising, right? I see, like, there'll be like, because before it would just be they would take American commercials with Black people and dub it. But I'm starting to see more commercials of actually Black people from here in commercials talking and speaking, which I think is really great. And then I also see like ads. Like, for instance, I see like Deutsche Bahn. They have ads, like employment ads that they're looking for people, and they have Black people on there, you know. Or like Zalando. Zalando also has ads. They actually even have a department. I had somebody reach out to me actually. They have a headhunter specifically for that to recruit diverse candidates, and they have a DEI in the actual company. And they have a partnership with like one of the local, it's like Association for African something, I don't know. And I think that's like a pool of diverse candidates for them as well. And so I do see it changing, but I do have to admit, while they're trying to change, when you see the comments under certain things on social media, it's like, they're trying to change, but it's almost like they're in a hamster wheel running, but they're not going anywhere. It's like they're trying to push forward, but then you see these really racist comments. Like, I think Zalando had an ad with a Black model. I mean, that's normal. She was wearing clothes, and then it's like, you know, a little tagline and then the link to go shop. And it was like all these very negative comments, like, you know, is this supposed to be? I think this is the wrong region. This is supposed to be for Zalando Africa, you know, like, and then just people talking about they don't understand why everybody's woke and like why they want to include Black people for. Like, it's just really mind blowing. So I do see, like, I do see you know, organizations trying to be inclusive and change and make that change, but then it's really a lot of, you'd be surprised. It's so many people that really go against that. They don't want to see it. They have a conniption if they see a Black person in a commercial or an ad that's not from the, I think like when they take the ads over from the US and dub it, it's one thing, they don't have a problem because it's like, oh, they're from the US. But I think they have a problem when they see like people homegrown from here. It's, I don't know. It's crazy. And then you'll see like certain people on TV, like they do have like not a lot, but they have some Black actors and actresses on TV, very small, you know. And it's like, it's not a problem as long as it's just them and nobody else, you know, like don't start adding more people.
There's only room for
So,
one. Tick the box.
I mean, it's a lot of stuff that I've seen, and I was just like, but I do have to admit, I do see the change. I do see a lot of people are like, you know, yes, you know, even at my job, they sent out a diversity and recruiting survey for them to understand if we see them as a diverse recruiter. Like, do they present as a diverse recruiter when we chose to apply, or is what can they work on? And, you know, that's all I can say about that. I can't really say much, but I'm just saying th there's change. It's really sad that you see like individual people like really fighting against it.
Don't you think the internet would be a different place if you had to pay to comment?
I think
Like,
it would be a I
oh.
think it would be a different place if you had to register with your correct information. It would be a very different place. Like
And
if
you
every like
had
you're
to
not
use your
allowed to have
face
right,
in
you
a
had to
profile
use your
picture.
picture of your face and you had to use your legal name. I think if you had to do that, then, it would be look very different. Because it's easy for me to create an account with somebody else's picture and say all kind of stuff.
It's like it's interesting actually that we've got to talk about this because like intercultural communication, once you then go to the internet and it's like it can be anyone from anywhere in the same space. Like then it's almost like the rules are still being made of how we communicate online because everyone's there, you know? And when especially when it's a written comment, like and there's you lose stuff there when it's not spoken. So like if you're in Germany and someone's speaking to you and they say, move your bag, please, right? When you're on the train or whatever, you can tell if they're like, could you move your bag, please? Or if they're like, move your bag, please, right? Like
Right, you
you've
can
got
tell
the
the
tone, you've got
tone.
the face, you've got everything. And so like as soon as you go online and you lose those elements and it's just written, it becomes so much harder to distinguish those extra layers beyond the words, right? And but yeah, and I just wonder what compels people. Why do people feel they can say things like that? And like who gets that? Like who has the time and headspace and energy to get that stressed out over like an advert or a character in a TV show anyway? Who like who is thinking, oh, well, this is my top priority for the day. Being mad
Oh
at the
God.
world. Like, seriously.
You'd be surprised because it's not even just that. I've had to leave like some groups that I was invited to on Facebook. Number one, I just don't have the bandwidth for that. Number two, sometimes you just see people and you just see what people are, and you're like, so you didn't even brush your teeth. You just woke up and started ranting about this today.
Still in bed, like
Still in bed, like what did you don't even say, oh, the sun's out, birds are chirping, like you don't even say that. You just, oh, this and this, I'm offended by this and I'm angry about this. And I'm just like, why? I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying there are not things to be offended about or whatever, but I'm just saying, like, I just think it's horrible when that's your North Star, to wake up in the morning and complain about things that like so fervently, so ardently, just and people, I just don't understand it. Don't want to understand it.
No, that's also true.
And then
And
also, that's another
yeah.
thing I've noticed. Like, I've noticed that you have kind of sometimes you have to kind of take things with a grain of salt with people here because I feel like sometimes I get the feeling people like to complain here. And I think in the US, I don't think Americans complain and like just on a general level, I don't really hear people complaining. It's mostly like storytelling, but they will complain when it comes to customer service because everybody kind of has that idea that, oh, if I complain, I can get something free, right? So I think in that respect, we probably complain a whole lot more. But just like on a day to day, I think in general, Americans are not, we don't make a big deal. Everything's pretty much like somebody bumps into me and they're like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, oh, it's okay. No big deal. It's not a big deal, But here, it's like, oh my God, you bumped into me. And it's like, okay, what do you want from me? Like, I can do it again. Do you need me to do it again so that you can be even more mad? Because, like, I bumped into you, it was an accident. I said, you know, my mistake, it was an accident. And, like, you still here upset. I'm just, so I just, that's one of the things I noticed here. And I don't know if that's a cultural thing because, like, it's like, for instance, and when I say complain, like, I don't know. And that's something that's like, I don't know if it's like a cultural thing that they encourage to like, hey, if you don't like something, say something. It doesn't matter how little. That's something I'm still trying to figure out. But like, for instance, on Sundays, you can't make noise. You're not supposed to be doing anything that makes noise, right? It's a rest day. So like, if you go outside trying to drill, they can legally call the police on you. And I know, like, for instance,
So
my
no
landlord,
homeschooling, no drilling on a Sunday.
no noise on a Sunday. You can't be out there doing work. So I know, like, my landlord, he's a police officer, and I guess he was doing something trying to prep the apartment for me, and like, I guess he was making noise, and the neighbors threatened to call the police on him, and he is the police. So they threatened to call the police on police. I just thought that was the heights of complaining, like, to me. Like, okay, that's real interesting. And another thing that I had experienced at a previous place, not here, thank God, not my previous, not in this city, but another place. I think it was like in Heidelberg somewhere. No, actually, I think I was in Schweinfurt. We experienced like the neighbors going through our trash and complaining because we didn't know about like the recycling thing and stuff at first. Because, you know, in the States, we didn't really have that, and like now we do, but still not as robust as it is here. And so I think like we were still like throwing our trash away, like if we were in the US, because that was like what we were thinking, what we were supposed to do. And I think like one of the neighbors was like, you're supposed to separate your trash. I'm like, who has time to open up someone's trash? And this is not uncommon. Like, somebody actually did a TikTok about this. This is not uncommon that people like go through your trash and like, oh, you didn't separate your trash right, and blah blah blah. And like, I don't know. So I'm still like, that's something that's like an intercultural communication question, because it's like, I don't understand why. And I'm still trying to figure that one out.
Do you think that it's just continual? Like I always say, you never finish learning a language. There's always new words to learn, there's always new slang that appears, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think that this is the same? That there's always something that is going to come up and you'll be like, but why? I don't get it.
Absolutely, because it even happens with our own culture. Like, you know, we have US culture, and then we have like the regional things, like people do on the East Coast, people do on the West Coast, people do down south, people do in Texas, people do in Louisiana, whatever. So we have that, things that we do, we say, and those things evolve over time. Like, for instance, you know, if you know, back then, you know, I don't remember what era this was, but I remember you used to call people a jive turkey. Like, that was something you call somebody, you jive turkey. Like, you don't say that now, but I'm just saying, if that's something, like, for instance, you're starting to learn the English language at this time, and as time is evolving, and now they're calling you, you know, they're calling you, you know, I don't know, I'm trying to think of something. Like, I remember they used to say back in the day, at least black slang, I know they used to call people a herb, like when they were like lame. And it's like, okay, so if you learn that,
You say herb, you pronounce the H.
we don't, but for that word, we used to say like you a herb. So we
Interesting.
normally say herb with no H sound, but for that, we used to say you a herb. And so if you're learning that, and around that time when people are using it, and then people, you know, jive turkey. So now that's slowly phasing out, and people are slowly saying other things. It's continuing. Like, nowadays, I don't know what they call somebody. They call them, I don't know what they call them. I can't think of nothing off the top of my head, but it's so many things, and it morphs over time, the words. So I think it's like a continual process, of course, like even for me, because, you know, they may be saying like, I don't even know if they still say this anymore, but I remember at one time they used to be like, that's a dub. Like, if you don't like something, or you're not going to do something, you're not going to get something, you don't want to. So you'd be like, I'm dubbing that. And then that's a dub. And so I don't know if they still say that, so please don't quote me on that because I've been in Germany for like 4 years, so I don't really know what they're still saying, but I say that to say whatever it is they're saying now, I, as an American, need to learn that. I need to know that. So for you, to be learning a foreign language, you're gonna have to continue the, because things change. Pop culture influenced the language. So.
It's just one long lifetime of almost continually like trying to catch up.
I mean, if you think about it, if you a life without language is going to be the same. You're going to continually always going to feel like you're trying to catch up because the thing is, we don't know. We're just living life. All we can do is learn lessons as they come along. And if we're smart enough, learn other people's lessons so that we don't have to learn them. But we're constantly in a state of trying to. Okay, this is how it is now. Okay, especially with laws changing, regulations. Oh, okay, you can't do this anymore. Okay, oh, now they changed that. Oh, okay. It's constantly, one of the things I had to learn when I got a car, like, I didn't realize you had to register your car every year. I thought you registered it once and it was like that forever. That's luckily I didn't learn the hard way, but I did learn that. And it's like, then you learn, oh, okay, oh, I have to get an emissions test. And oh, okay, but if you go here, you have to do a full inspection. And it's just, we're constantly learning. At least you should be. So I don't want anyone to feel like, oh, it's so much to learn. Just living life, that's the human experience. It's always going to be so much to learn.
That's such a valid point. And I think to kind of end there, despite perhaps some of the frustrations or confusions or things that you experience as you go along this journey, especially living abroad, why is it worth it? What makes it worth it after all of that?
I think it makes it worth it because I think that it only helps you understand yourself and where you come from more. Because it's easy to just take things for granted and do things. But when you understand why people do things differently than you, then it's you can self-reflect and say, well, why do we do it this way? Where does that come from? And then, I feel like, and that's one of the things I see with the current, I don't want to say only the current generation, but with the right now, I see a lot of people questioning things now, saying, hey, I noticed people are doing it this way. So why were we doing it this way? This doesn't make sense.
There is a lot of that, and I think it's quite exciting when there's kind of gradually more and more people that are in that position to question those sort of perhaps traditional expectation life paths. Yeah, and the more that we can not, and I don't mean question in a critical way, but just pause and like go, but why? This is what I've learned today from Yoshida, is like just curiously ask why. That's the real core, I think, of all of this.
Another thing that I learned is critical is two things. Critical is not a bad thing, especially here. Like when I say this is critical feedback, it's not a bad thing. I always thought like critical was like, oh, that's bad, it's judgmental and everything. But I just, the way that they use the word critical here, it makes me, it made me think about it. And I'm just like, it's not bad. It's just important and you need to know it. And the other thing that I wanted to say was just to also not only just keep in mind that people are learning languages from different regions, right? So for instance, that adds another layer of complexity to it because not only are, like, for instance, they learn British English here. So not only are we having the cultural, we have two different cultural viewpoints, even though we're speaking the same language, but then they're also using British terms. Like, for instance, I thought about it earlier when you were saying biscuits, right? So now for me, it's like if you say biscuits, I understand what you mean cookies because we say cookies, right? I get that. But like if I'm talking to someone who doesn't speak English as a second language and they're telling me about biscuits, I'm thinking they're talking about the biscuits that I know, because I wouldn't think, oh, they're learning English, Pepperidge English, or British English, or whatever. I would not, that doesn't cross my mind, because we always think like, you know what I mean? And so that also adds that layer of complexity when you're trying to. So it's like you got to kind of know what language are they learning, because I'm pretty sure if I go, I've had that experience. I went to Switzerland and I was like, the German I learned is almost like I didn't even learn German, because what they're speaking is different. So, like for instance, I was went to a chicken place and I was trying to tell them what chicken pieces I wanted. I was trying to tell them I wanted actual chicken, not chicken strips, right? And I was saying Hähnchenteile, because in German it's chicken piece, like the pieces of chicken. So I was saying Hähnchenteile, and they were looking at me cross-eyed. I'm like, Hähnchenteile, like, you know, and I'm saying, you know, Flügel, you know, all other stuff. And they're just like not getting it. And then my friend's like, what are you talking about? And I said, I'm trying to tell them I want the pieces, the Hähnchenteile. And she's like, oh, Poulet Tyler. And then they're like, oh, okay. Because for them, they say Poulet Tyler. So obviously, you know, there's that layer of I'm speaking German with a person who's speaking that dialect of German in that Swiss region.
Poulet, that's so interesting. So I didn't realize that Swiss German took from French so directly.
It's
That's
just that
cool.
area because she lives in Basel and it's like the border of France and Germany. So some places speak French, some places speak German, some places even speak Italian. So sometimes they, oh, Swiss German, oh God, it's like another language, basically.
A whole other thing to learn. But as we've said, that's the joy of life, the whole purpose of life and human experience. Shahida, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. If people are listening and they want to learn more about you, follow what you're up to, where is the best place to do that?
So Instagram, Black Girls Learn Languages, you can follow me. I'm on Facebook, so I have like a public page. I'm not as active, but I do post some things. So it's the facebook.com/blackgirlslearnlanguages. I also have a private group, but it is a safe space for Black women. So you do have to be a Black woman to be a part of that group. So that one is this BGLL hyphen forum. And you just, you know, can join that group, answer the questions. Other than that, there's the website, www.blackgirlslearnlanguages.co, not .com. Everybody always puts the .com. It does redirect, but it's really .co. And then there's also Twitter, but I'm not on Twitter that much. Black Linguista, so I'll go in there every once in a while, but really I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and I try to update the website often.
Thank you so much. And is,
Oh wait, and
yeah,
YouTube. I'm sorry, I
and
forgot on YouTube.
YouTube. Oh.
Yes. So if you go to YouTube, I believe it's youtube.com/blackgirlslearnlanguages. But if not, just you'll find it if you just type in Black Girls Learn
Excellent. Excellent. Thank
Languages.
you. What a joy to speak with you and such a fascinating topic. It took us in all sorts of directions. So I'm really, really glad that we had the chance to talk about this. And yeah, I'm sure we'll speak again soon.
Thank you.
Bye.